Steve Jobs, the billionaire co-founder of Apple. And the man credited with revolutionising how we use technology, as you have heard today, has passed away at the age of 56. The Apple visionary died in California after a long battle with pancreatic cancer. The Silicon Valley icon who gave the world the iPod, the iPhone, has resigned as the CEO of the world's largest technology corporation. That happened back in August, handing the reins to the current CEO, Tim Cook. Now, Jobs, who fought a rare form of pancreatic cancer, was considered the heart and soul of Apple. And the company has released a statement paying tribute to his brilliance, his passion, and his energy. In just a moment, I'm going to speak to Australian freelance writer and commentator on internet and technology, Still Gerrion. He's written a piece today on crikey.com.au. But first, I'd like to share this with you. This is Steve Jobs talking about when he was diagnosed with cancer.
About a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had a scan at 7:30 in the morning, and it clearly showed a tumor on my pancreas. I didn't even know what a pancreas was. The doctors told me this was almost certainly a type of cancer that is incurable and that I should expect to live no longer than 3 to 6 months. My doctor advised me to go home and get my affairs in order, which is doctor's code for prepare to die. It means to try and tell your kids everything. You thought you'd have the next 10 years to tell them in just a few months. It means to make sure everything is buttoned up so that it will be as easy as possible for your family. It means to say your goodbyes. I can now say this to you with a bit more certainty than when death was a useful but purely intellectual concept. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet, death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And that is as it should be, because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Sorry to be so dramatic, but it's quite true. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary.
He certainly followed his heart and intuition at 4:15 here on Coast FM, and wasn't a time waster either. Steve Jobs there, talking to graduates at the University of Stanford in 2005. Still Gerrion joins me. He's a freelance writer and IT commentator. He's written a piece today on crikey.com.au and joins me on Drive. Still Gerrion, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tony.
What did you say in your article that was entitled Steve Jobs Deserved His Cult? You don't even know how he influenced you.
Yeah, it's essentially that Steve Jobs, I mean, if you had to pick someone who shaped how the personal computer has evolved over the past 3.5 decades or so, Steve Jobs is the man. And I can hear a whole bunch of people now, you know, sitting forward in their chairs going, look, hang on, mate. You know, what about Bill Gates? What about this? What about, you know, Intel making chips and so on? But Steve Jobs from the very beginning had this idea that the computer should be for everyone and not, you know, everyone who was smart or well-educated or any of those things, but anyone who could just pick up an object and use it. And really, that drove him, this passion for making things simple and, of course, making them beautiful so that they, you know, sold millions of them.
Well, often they were design statements at the same time, weren't they, Still Gerrion? Very intuitive, as you have expressed. I was talking to Dr. Carl earlier on the program in our regular Thursday Science segment. He was talking about the first Apple that he bought back in 1987. It cost almost $10,000. Do you remember your first Apple product?
Oh, yes, a little bit. Oh, 87, I've got to get the years right. It was the first model of Macintosh computer, which I would have picked up at the beginning of 1985. I can't remember the price, but I do remember that it had a whole 512K of memory.
Dr. Carl's had a little bit, he had four times more than you.
Look, Dr. Carl's, you know, just four times more special than any of us, really. but, you know, that was the machine of the time. But what was amazing was the Macintosh was the first generally available computer, mass market computer, that had a graphic interface rather than typing commands at a command line. And I wish to stress that wasn't Apple's invention. It was, you know, we can't credit Steve Jobs with that. It was actually invented by Xerox, because back in the day, Xerox, and we know them as a, you know, they make photocopiers, they used to make computers as well. And, well, they didn't do very well, and they decided they'd get out of the computer business and invested all their money in a research center to say, look, how will people be using computers in the future? And this was back in the, you know, the late 60s, early 1970s. And they sketched out and invented really what is the laptop computer we have today? Something that opened up and had a screen on one bit and a keyboard on the other. They invented an interface where you have a menu across the top of the screen and the menu drops down and you plug it in and operate it with a mouse, although they didn't invent the mouse itself. But all of these kind of how it all fitted together and the fact that it would be a metaphor of a desktop with folders and documents in those folders.
And I think one of the aspects that strikes me is it wasn't just one good idea. They continued to deliver year on year on year. The company almost went broke. I think that was back in the early 90s thereabouts, and they were still able to reinvent themselves, turn that around then with the portable music players, the iPods, and then developing further to the iPhones, the iPads, and now that intuitive technology once again being used in Apple computers. And, you know, it was relentless. What that man fit into his 56 years was absolutely incredible, wasn't it?
It was. And the thing is, it wasn't that Steve Jobs or Apple necessarily invented any of these objects and categories. You know, people have been trying to do tablet computers for 20 years. People have been doing MP3 music players for years before Apple got involved. But somehow, Steve Jobs managed to find the perfect image. Now, that's because he had some incredible designers working for him. Jonathan Ive, an Englishman who's still alive and working for Apple. So, you know, that's not going to change there.
Yeah.
But really, I've been talking to people today about this, and Tom Worthington, who's been, involved in teaching computing and looking at how it all works for years, he said the thing about Steve Jobs was he just was so driven that even if something failed, he'd say, okay, what have we learned from that? We won't fail that way again. We'll keep going.
And still, Gary, we have to wrap it up there. We're about to lose your connection. You need to get to Triple J. You need to get to a whole bunch of other people.
It's one of those days.
As well as us this afternoon. Greatly appreciate you joining us here on ABC Coast FM Drive.
No problems,
Cheers, Danny. Mate. Bye-bye. Still, Gary, who is a freelance writer, commentator on internet and technology, has written a piece today for crikey.com.au. You can check that out online. We're going to check in with Federal Politics in just a moment, update your traffic as well. Just before we go to that, I'd like to play you one more piece from when Steve Jobs was talking to graduates at the University of Stanford in 2005. This is talking about living your life as if it were the last day.
When I was 17, I read a quote that went something like, "If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right." It made an impression on me, and since then, for the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart.